dead. Dead.
Hey, thanks for tuning back in to Craft Beer is Dead. I am Chris Face.
And I am Bree, the Behind Size Traveler.
Yes, yes, yes. And we had the pleasure of sitting down with Dan and Tom from Fooder Crafters. And it was actually really insightful. Throughout the interview, we got to kind of go over a lot of different things outside of the most commonly known things about fooders.
Which, what is common about fooders? That they're wood, big in the wood, and that, yeah, yeah, seriously, how much does everyone really, really know?
Insert a pee-pee joke here. no, but like all the different things, like myths about them, all the other possibilities, just the sheer fact of what they're capable of doing when it comes to customizing and stuff for different breweries and different projects. And it's super interesting. I was super excited to sit down with these guys. And yeah, it was really informative.
Absolutely. I learned a lot, and I think maybe you learned a couple, two tree things at least.
Yeah.
But I know during the recording, Chris was looking around constantly trying to figure out where he could fit a fooder in the brewery now. So
Doug wasn't already annoyed by me already. I'm going to go bother him now.
You're just going to walk up to his phone, and you know, you can like get ads on your phone by just like talking around it. You know, like how I got him to propose to me by going wedding, engagement rings, rings, rings. So it kept popping up ads to him. I'm kidding. That's made up.
Will,
but,
yeah, no, this will do that to everyone listening now. Yeah.
You're all going to buy fooders now, as you should.
So as we are about to jump into that, a couple quick things. We have a little exciting news to tease.
A little.
Yeah.
I think it's a lot-all.
No, it's super cool. We got approached by a pretty big national kind of like beer syndicated publishing aspect of things. We're still working out the details, but by the next episode, we will be very, very excited to announce a new partnership. And just, I'm super stoked to work with such a great group of people who literally are only doing it out of the love of just the industry in general.
And around the entire country. So it's just going to be, you know, constantly sharing ideas, resources, what's going on over there, you know, what's good, what's bad. So that's going to be really cool to see.
Absolutely. Cool. Follow us on social, all that good stuff. Any other things you got?
No.
All right, sweet. Check out this stuff from our sponsors, and then we will get into the interview. Bye.
Bye.
This month's episode of Craft Beer is Dead is brought to you by our friends over at A La Carte in Orlando, Florida. A La Carte features some of the best beer options you're going to find within Central Florida, as well as numerous food trucks to keep everyone in your group happy. This month, from February 12th to the 14th, they're featuring their annual Sours and Stouts event featuring Arcane Aleworks from Largo. They'll have three Grandma Finger Sours and three Desert Eagle Stouts on draft. Live music on Sunday for Galentine's Day. 51st Dates playing on Monday night for their movie night. If you need a fun date time, that is an easy win for sure. From February 19th to March 1st, they have their Mardi Gras celebration. It begins with Louisiana lineup on draft and fun Cajun dishes from each food truck that they have. There's a free movie in the courtyard every Monday at sunset and trivia every Tuesday evening. Two rounds, prizes for each round. If you're in Central Florida, do us a favor, stop in and say hi to the team over at A La Carte. Tell them Craft Beer is Dead sent you. Awesome, awesome, awesome. We have with us Dan and Tom from Fooder Crafters. How are you doing today, gentlemen?
Good. How are you doing?
Doing awesome, man. Where are you guys based out of?
St. Louis.
Okay.
St. Louis Brewery.
That's got to be quite the chilly weather right now.
It is. We are hours away from an ice storm.
Oh,
looking
no way.
Out the window waiting for it to hit.
What are you doing talking to us? You need to be like,
you need to be buying cans and toilet paper.
If it runs over, we'll just sleep in the office tonight.
There you go. Oh, that's commitment, man.
You need to do.
Well, no, we appreciate your time, man. Huge, huge fans of what you guys do. Just to start
Thank you.
I wanted to thank you guys because I don't know if I ever got to personally. A few months ago, we got a care package from you. Mm-hmm. I guess you heard about us on True Crime Garage, and you guys were the sweetest people ever and sent us like a few shirts and a couple beers and stuff. So like, We were huge fans of the fact that we found like fellow kin in the industry who love weird true crime stuff, but also still like beer too. So
that was our perfect segue together, honestly. I was like, that's yes, perfect. Where I like them.
Yeah, you're welcome. We send those out all the time. We love it. Getting to meet new brewers and getting to meet new people.
Feels a little less special now, though.
Yeah, no, we don't.
No, I was just kidding. Well, you guys are the first one ever.
Who is the first one?
So how long have you been listening to true crime? Are you guys like actually fairly big into true crime, would you say?
Thomas.
Or? Yeah.
It's hard to say. I guess 4 or 5 years. I don't know. Working in the back on fooders and stuff, you just kind of get in the zone and you just listen to stuff. And that was one that stuck. And
it started getting darker and darker and darker. And he's like,
yeah, you got to take a break from it sometimes. You know? Oh, yeah. Fun stuff too. So
otherwise, you're the interesting guy in the conversation. I've been that one plenty of times. You're, like, you're listening to it for like 8 hours in a row, and the first human you see, you're like, have you heard about like Dahmer?
Yeah.
Like, please don't talk to me right
now.
Oh,
it's so funny. That's a true story.
Yeah. Well, why don't we start with like a little backstory on you guys, man? How'd Fooder Crafters get started? What was your role? Like, how did everything come up for you guys within that? You know, take
I'm
it away.
I'm going to open this beer before story time because
I apologize.
Awesome.
I don't know about you guys. It's been a decently long day so far. So
yeah. Oh,
why don't we do that while they tell us about everything?
Getting in the 10.2 pursuer for it. So.
Awesome.
All right.
So Fooder Crafters was started in 2013 by Matt Walters, who is still part of our family here. He was a home builder and woodworker by trade, and somebody had asked him to build a fooder, and he said, what the hell is a fooder? And they said, it's just a big wood tank. He said, yeah, if it's made of wood, I'll build it. And he did. And he started getting brewers calling him just out of the blue, like, hey, can you build us one? Can you build us one? Can I get on the list? And he's like, well, there is really no list. If you want one, I'll have it done in a few days. So,
oh, my God.
So he started doing that full time. And, you know, here we are, you know, 9 years later, it's become quite a big thing. We have I got involved in Fooder Crafters, what? 3 or 4 years ago, I was Matt's banker. And then 2 years ago, almost 2 years ago now, I bought the company from him. He's still around and friends with everybody here. But I kind of run the day to day, and Tom's our operations manager. He's our longest term employee, actually. Also, mm-hmm. He's done everything there is to do in the shop. And we just kind of, you know, we've had the same guys around here forever. So we just kind of keep going like we've been going for the past 9 years, and keep trying to spread the gospel according to wood beer. So that's kind of our job.
That's awesome, man. So like, you know, for those of our listeners who are like kind of familiar with what fooders are, but maybe not like really completely understanding of the intricacies of it, you know, what's the main difference with something like fermenting in a wood fooder versus like a typical stainless tank?
Sure. So I guess depending on how far you look back in history, like how far you want to go back, like really far back before there was any stainless or anything like that, before the Industrial Revolution, everybody used wood tanks, right? So that's just kind of what it was. Then when stainless came around, they thought, oh, it's going to, you know, it's more sanitary, it's easier to clean, all this stuff. And everybody started using stainless. Since then, there are some places that never stopped, and there are a lot of people who are kind of going back into it, this renaissance almost. But it became really popular to use them for sours, because, you know, the bugs, whatever you want in your sour beer, you can keep them in the wood and they live there, and you just create their perfect environment, and it kind of evolves over time. And you just have really great products coming out of the wood as opposed to stainless, and it's more consistent and all that. What we've been trying to tell people is it's not just for sours. Like, you can have clean beers in them too. The differences are, I'd say it adds a certain, and it's funny. It's like an I don't know what. It's a, you don't realize something tastes metallic until you have the same thing compared and made in metal and made in wood. And you're like, oh man, this is like rounder, softer. It just adds a little something. Most of our tanks we do here are pretty neutral. Like, people don't really want necessarily an oak taste to come out. There are some that do, but it really just kind of, the yeast acts different. Everything just kind of works together with whatever tiny flavors come out of the wood in a very subtle way. And it makes some delicious drinks.
What all different types of wood do you use? Is it
only American white oak? Yeah. Huh. It's all grown here in Missouri. Our sawmill is about 50 miles from here. And they harvest white oak within about 100-mile radius of the sawmill. I didn't know it until I was around Fooder Crafters, but Missouri has a big white oak industry. Like, 90% of the bourbon barrels that distilleries use Missouri white oak.
Oh, cool.
Even if it's coopered somewhere else, the oak comes from here and gets sent off to Kentucky or wherever and made into barrels. Our soil composition makes, you know, great trees, and our weather makes incredibly hard trees, and, you know, they're just tough as nails, basically. A lot of the times it's like working more like with metal than it is wood almost in the shop.
That's really cool. You touched on something a little earlier, not to like get too nerdy on it, but you talked about like the different types of flavor that the wood itself can kind of impart. You know, just kind of doing some back research on how people have treated their fruiters for the first few batches and stuff. I know one of the big concerns was people being like, oh, you know, we tailored our recipe to go for something that would lend itself to a really heavily oaky flavor. But you guys talked about like how you kind of reduce that. What's something you do on your end to help reduce that? And like maybe some advice out there to anybody who is getting into fermenting and fooders, and maybe for their first few batches, what they can kind of gear something towards.
Yeah, sure.
So you want to steam the vessel. And here we have a heavy steam process we use that pulls out as much tannins as possible. You're still going to get heavy tannins first or two turns on the vessel, but it'll level out pretty quickly. It's not nearly as forward as people think, you know, especially if you're doing clean beers. That stuff can come out of there in no time at all, and it barely will pull out, you know, a huge oak flavor, because that's, a lot of people are worried about that for sure. You know, there's that expectation of that being an off flavor, but it can complement, you know, lager well, IPAs, any of the clean beers can be pretty good out of that thing. It's not nearly as scary as it's made out to be. And I don't know, maybe that's some of the, you know, we get used to using stainless and how sanitary and clean and just sterile that tastes. And so you just have that expectation that using anything that isn't stainless is going to be bad. And it's not the case at all. Another thing, like on the brewery end, that people can do, if they're really afraid of the tannins, you can steam it some more. You can run, you know, hot water cycles through it to pull out as much as possible. But you're going to notice right away when you get it that it's been pretty well taken care of, because we do give a heavy steam here to make sure that it's good.
And you guys sell steam machines, right, to go alongside with these things?
Huh.
Awesome. Little plug for
you.
We've been using them here in the shop for, you know, years, and people kept asking us about them. And we're like, well, yeah, we can start selling those. People have been using them for barrels and all kinds of stuff, but it's cheap opposed to like a big boiler system or whatever. And they're portable, and we love them. I mean, ours runs for 8 hours plus a day, so they're great. You can really taste, like, if you were to taste the condensate right when you start steaming that stuff, you can taste the tannins real strong. But at the end of the steam process, it looks like tea. It's dark. And by the end of, you know, 10 hours or 12 hours or whatever of steam, depending on the size, I mean, that stuff's running clear, and you barely get any oak or any tannins out of it at all. You can still taste the oak for sure, but nothing too harsh.
Who was the first person to look at all of that coming out of there and been like, oh, I'm going to taste that.
Probably lost.
I want to see what that tastes like.
Wild man, Matt.
Yeah, that would be Matt. He would taste anything. He probably would open a valve and be like, oh, there's citric acid in there. Like, shouldn't have had that.
Matt'll try anything.
That's so funny.
Well, Tom, you kind of touched on it a little bit earlier, too. Like, you know, what are some, like, things, myths or mysticism-wise, that you guys get from, you know, consumers, from potential clients, things like that, that they just have this maybe just a lack of information from, that they think that they need to worry about with fooders, that maybe may not be such a pressing, terrifying matter that at the end of the day?
Oxygen. Okay. Oxygen ingress, for sure. People are terrified of that, and it's, our vessels are different than, you know, how the other fooders are made from around the world. We have finger joints, so everything's really tight, and we had a brewery do a test on it, and it came back in the billionth.
Yeah, it was like 5 parts per billion.
Oh, damn.
Of DO in it. So yeah, everybody's afraid of getting oxygen. And so a lot of people will put CO2 or something on there just to try to, you know, make sure they're blanketing it and no oxygen is getting in. But that's something you really don't have to worry about with our tanks. That's probably the biggest myth we deal with. The other thing that we deal with a lot is people pressurizing them or, you know, closing all the valves, thinking their fermentation's done or something like that, and it ends up, you know, rupturing the tank, stuff like that. What else? I mean, some people, I think it's hard. A lot of people don't understand they can make clean beers that are really good in them. Like I said, yeah. It's they're like, what? An IPA comes out of wood?
Just a sour stigma. Yeah.
Yeah. It's got a sour stigma for sure. Hmm. You know, you're thinking of your browns or your something like that, your sours. Just it's way more than that.
I think tank can do anything you want to do.
They're so versatile. You're not going to break them unless you pressurize them. You can use most chemicals you would use on stainless. You can use in your fooders. I mean, these things are like indestructible.
That's awesome, man.
A lot of people would think they're really fragile too, and they're not. I mean,
no, they take a beating.
Yeah, they can they really can take a beating.
Huh? What's the largest one you ever made?
250.
250 barrels.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's crazy, dude.
That's so crazy. Yeah, they're oh my god.
We actually had to get a new door put in the shop. A new roll-up door to get them out of here.
Was that a while ago or fairly recent?
Yeah, a few years ago.
Yeah.
We did what? It was like, we did almost 20 of them.
Yeah.
For a couple different places.
Oh my God. Yeah. Wow.
It's intimidating to make them. They're wild when you flip them in the shop.
They kind of got a mind of their own, a lot of weight.
But that feeling when you see them drive away and it's no longer your problem.
You break out the bottle. You're like,
it's done.
There's so much room for activities after that.
Yeah, right? You're like looking around like, holy shit, that's how big this place is.
No kidding.
I mean, those things shut down the shop, right? Like rolling through, it's
all hands on deck.
Get them out. They that's have to so get cool. out because we can't do anything because they take everything from us.
That's really cool. Though. Oh, on that same thing, what was the smallest one you make?
Valid.
Well, we made as a gift to somebody one time. What was it, like a 10-gallon?
Yeah. It was for a baby shower, I think.
Yeah,
it
was 18-inch
diameter. It was a baby
no
fooder
way.
For the brewer's baby.
That's cool.
The smallest one in operation in the brewery is, what, 4 barrels?
Yeah, there's something a 4. Like that. I think there's a 4 out there.
Yeah, 500 liters. So just over 4 barrels.
That's cool.
Yeah, we actually just sent that to Japan the other day.
Oh, sweet.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's really cool, man.
Yeah.
And then from the looks of it, too, just watching social media and stuff, you guys have quite a few options available for, like, different sizing, different formats, those kind of things.
Yeah.
And then it looks like you do a lot of custom work, too, mm-hmm. should you ever have to.
Right. Yeah. So
how do you feel about stacking them?
Ooh.
Yeah. I mean, stacking's always fun.
You like them? I mean, you're pro?
Yeah, we do. I mean,
it seems like you do a lot of like them beautifully.
Yeah, the horizontal stacks are just gorgeous.
Yeah.
They're so cool.
Yeah.
Love working on those. We've done some really cool horizontal stacks in the shop.
those end up in Windows. A lot of times really? When people get the horizontals, it's Windows stuff. So they've got it to where people can see into the brewery, but that's what they're seeing, you know, is the stacks.
That's cool.
Yeah. For sure. So as far as form factors go, we've got our standards, the vertical ones, ovals, eggs, horizontals, and our cones. So the thing we tell everybody is, you know, don't get stuck on one thing over the other, because they can all pretty much do the same thing. Just pick out what you think works best for your space. Like, I mean, that's the biggest hurdle we deal with everybody. It's just, you know, where are you going to put it in your brewery and how much space do you have? Because that kind of determines most of all what you can work with. The cones are nice if you're going to be putting fruit in or harvesting yeast out of them. Standards can do anything. We sell more vertical, just standard tanks, more of those than anything else. And then we do get a lot of custom work also. Somebody will present us a challenge of, you know, I got to get it down this staircase that's 36 inches wide. And then at the bottom, the roof or the ceiling's this tall and it has to fit around the corner. And so we do a lot of custom stuff with sizing also. It's fun. There's not really anything standard off the rack. I mean, even the ones that are quote unquote plain, they're still custom, because somebody wants, you know, their ports somewhere else, or they want a cooling plate or their logo on it or whatever. I mean, we try to make the customer get whatever they want, because this is kind of their dream. This is something they've been wanting for a long time.
Yeah. You know,
this is never a need to have. It's always a want to have. So we try to make them happy and make the experience best they can and get them exactly what they want.
It's fun. I feel badly because I don't know if you can tell. Like, it's not that I'm not paying attention as you guys are talking about that, but I'm literally looking around our square footage, being like,
"Do we have room? Where would we put it? Where do you put?" I knew that's what you were doing. The second you looked up, I was like, "He's judging how tall the ceiling is right now."
I looked up and I was like,
"You saw him? Yeah."
Yeah, I was like, "I think we put an extra glycol job up there, so we might be able."
Perfect. Yeah. Exactly. We've gotten some stacks that are actually, we're working on one. I don't think we can tell you about it, but we're doing one in July.
It's tall.
It's going to be tall. It's three layers, like four on top of four on top of four.
Oh my God.
Stacked three tall. It's going to be really cool.
Wow.
It's a huge assembly, like an entire wall in this new place.
That's awesome. Really cool.
I cannot wait to see that one.
I know. Seriously.
It's going to be cool.
Add that to the list.
Any fun, new, innovative ideas down the pipeline?
You know, we haven't really been doing much new. We introduced our punch-ins last year. It's something that people always wanted. You know, they always asked us about small scale fooders. So we thought they would really take off, and we made a bunch of punch-ins when we were slow last winter. It always slows down in the December, January when brewers are busy with other stuff. So we made a bunch of punch-ins, and then it was crickets after that. So no one really wanted those.
We tried
and it was a fun new, you know, design process. It's always fun to come up with something new. We did that was fun. We've been enjoying all these new different IPAs and clean beers that Narrow Gauge in St. Louis is putting through their fooder. They're releasing new ones all the time, and those are always fun. But our push, you know, internally has been trying to get people to know about clean beers and fooders. So that's that's where our focus has been. That's what we've been drinking ourselves and trying to tell people about also.
You know, price of stainless has went crazy, and then delays and all with all kinds of supply chain issues. I think fooder becomes more attractive to people, and it's important for people to realize you can do anything in, you know, our tanks.
Except carb.
Yeah,
we don't want to blow them up.
It's definitely something someone can use, you know, and like maybe that stainless that went up triple the price. Maybe you don't need it. Maybe you can get this beautiful fooder that people want to see and love looking at.
Yeah, so, and along the same lines, we've been getting people have been sending us a lot of fooder lagers lately, and that's something we've all just we've been crushing them. I mean, I've been loving like every single one we've got. They're all just incredible. And I'm like,
the whole time you were talking about really different styles and lager was just kept bumping in my head, because I think that's really one of the only ones I've tried that wasn't a sour, and it was so good.
Yeah. I mean, what, Threes in Brooklyn, they did
Threes
and Cerebral right around the same time. They both did some really incredible lagers, and then they started kind of catching on. I swear we get probably one a week now if somebody send it like, hey, check out this lager we just made. It's so good.
Lucky Schilling. You. Damn.
Yeah, and they are so good. Yeah, Schilling is really good.
That's awesome. So on that you love them, what's one beer trend that you wish you could just set on fire? Is there any crazy things or, you know, just shit you're just not into?
We'll probably have differing opinions here. I don't know. I'm not a pastry stout guy, really. I mean, I love like heavy mouthfeel in stouts, but when they're super sweet, I can't do it.
I feel that.
Yeah. I don't know what Tom thinks.
What about you?
That I don't like? Mm-hmm. Oh, man.
I mean, even past dislike, one that you're just like, okay, we can.
You know, I'm not really a fan of Belgian wits.
That is specific.
That's so funny.
Yeah, you know, it's not my favorite thing. So I guess if there's one thing I could like avoid, I'm gonna steer clear of that. I think one thing that a lot of people don't like that I think is kind of neat in a fooder right now is the seltzers.
But, oh yeah.
You know, so you
that's
got
just me.
You got people doing seltzers and fooders now.
We've had a couple do it.
What a crazy world we live in. Right?
That's pretty great. You're doing some weird stuff with seltzers right now, but I feel like that's like the pinnacle peak of weird shit is putting the seltzer in the food.
But like real talk, have you tried them yet?
Yeah, really? Because I bet they're good.
I haven't tried them.
I had the one, and it was good.
Yeah.
It was good.
That's cool.
Hell yeah, man.
I want to try that now. That's on the list now.
Yeah, it was good.
If you would have asked this question a few months ago, I probably would have said smoked lagers. But then we've gotten like three or four in the past month that I've really enjoyed. So I kind of changed my tune on them.
That's all it takes.
I think they're both out of a fooder and they were not what we thought they were going to be.
Yeah.
That's pretty nice.
It's like the first ones I've had that didn't taste like bologna or something. Like with the fake smoke.
Yeah, that liquid smoke. Yeah.
But when I had these, I'm like, okay, this is actually really good. I can see why people drink this.
Dude, I wish we had more people down our way actually making those. Because like no one makes smoked beers down here anymore.
No.
Yeah.
Some in Tampa, but that's it.
It's pretty rare.
Yeah.
I didn't know they could be so good.
Yeah, I mean, especially when you talk about getting into smoked malt too. I think everyone and their mom just like relied on like peat smoked for quite some time. And then now with all the cherry wood and the alder wood and all those different kind of things, it's actually really enjoyable. It's just
you can make something a little less, I don't know, not so strong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You've done something smoky, haven't you?
Yeah, we've done a few. Yeah. I've done a few at other breweries, and I'm glad I did because I saw that they don't move at all. So
you will so die with them in the walk-in.
Yeah. Or when we do, it's like a pilot batch or something like that.
Yeah. I feel like you pulled them off.
Somebody gave us a case of it, and I'm like, oh, I guess it didn't sell very well. But then I've tried it and I'm like, oh, this is actually really good.
Wow.
And it's kind of sad it didn't sell very well.
Yeah, it's a hard style to put out there.
Yeah.
It seems like people aren't, they're apprehensive to try it, right? So it's not nearly as bad as you think it can be.
Oh, for sure.
Oh, but it can be.
Oh, yeah.
What do you mean? You don't like hot dog beer? It's great. All right. Well, I guess kind of same curtail of like the previous question. Any big cool things for 2022 specifically? Any like fun new clients, giant projects, those kind of things?
Yeah, we have some cool projects. I told you about the one where it's 4 on 4 on 4. That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
There's another one going to a whiskey distillery. Again, I don't know if I can tell you about it or too much about it, but it's they wanted to envision the fooder of the future.
Okay.
And we came up with them, and they had an art director working with us and all kinds of stuff. But it's really cool. It's not going to have like regular bands. It's going to have kind of like a web of stainless wrapped all the way around it. That's like going all different ways and stuff. It's going to be
That's cool.
It's going to be really cool.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah.
It's really cool.
So even outside of that too, touching on the fact like with distilleries and like, do you get like wineries, sake companies or anything like that that reach out to you too? Or
we haven't had sake yet. We have a lot of wineries. Well, I shouldn't say a lot. We probably 90% of the people we work with are brewers, right?
Okay.
I'm so sorry. Just kidding.
No, it's great. We love it. We love brewers. They're easy. They all know each other and tell, you know, all their friends know when everybody's gotten new fooders. So that's awesome. We do have some winery customers and they all make, you know, great products. And the nice thing about wineries is they're already used to, most of them at least are already used to using wood. So it's not a stretch for them to go get a fooder or anything. We probably have a couple dozen winery clients.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
I'd say so. Yeah. They're around.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. And then we have probably about the same number of distilleries. The holdup with the distilleries is, you know, they have to have brand new barrels every time if they're making bourbon. So they have to come up. It has to be some kind of different thing. And obviously bourbon's been the big push over the past few years. So we've had some really great like single malts and there's somebody making Amaro in them Seattle. That's awesome. We have all kinds of stuff. We have kombucha.
Oh, that would actually be really cool.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah. There's somebody making, sauerkraut or kimchi?
We had somebody get one for that a few years ago.
Wow.
We've got all kinds of stuff. We obviously, our attention goes to brewers because that's such a big part of our business, and that's what we know the best. But it is always fun to work on different projects. I would never consider myself, I don't right now consider myself a wine guy, but man, when we went on like sales call to a winery, I was really enjoying some of the stuff that was coming out of their fooders.
Oh, it was a tough day at the office, I'm sure.
It's always a tough day.
All right. So now fooder, wine, seltzer, and booch are on my list now. That's, oh, hell yeah.
Now we just got to track them down or everyone just start buying more of
it. Right.
The kombucha place. What's that called?
That's Dean's Zesty Booch.
Dean's Zesty Booch.
Zesty Booch.
What's your nickname?
Missoula, I believe. Missoula Montana.
That's my stage name. Zesty Booch. Oh, I love that.
Oh, and then we have some cideries also. We have a handful of those. Some really incredible cideries, actually. One is one we just did a couple more for was Son of Man out in Oregon. They make some really good Basque style cider.
Basque?
Yeah, what is that?
I don't know what that is.
Spanish
cider.
Oh, okay.
It's kind of how would you describe it? It's got a funk to it.
It's a little bit more earthy, I think, than what we think of as cider here. Okay. It's not as sweet. And it's the stuff you pour long pours.
Oh really?
Okay, cool.
It's
fun.
Okay.
All right, I'm going to have to
go. I know, right? You're just broadening our horizons left and right here.
Awesome, guys. Well, I can't thank you enough for joining us.
Yeah, seriously. And the package. Us. Yeah, that was very cool.
Yeah, if anyone's looking out for you, where do they find you?
You can check us out at foodercrafters.com. It shows all of our... the different kinds we make, has a price list on it. And we have an Instagram, Fooder Crafters, F-O-E-D-E-R Crafters.
And awesome. I will say, as a note on that too, I always super love watching what you guys are doing because you'll tag where the fooder's going.
Yeah.
So not only do I get to find new awesome people to start following and what they're doing, I also get to watch all the different employees from the brewery start like lining up the comment section with like, oh my God, I'm so excited.
Yeah.
That is awesome.
We do get cool pictures from those people too. Like a lot of them will be really excited and send a picture of them hugging the tank and things like that. You know, you see the fun stuff. And
that gets you
pumped for what you're doing every day. You know, that's
so cool.
It's a big portion of why go to work and be happy, right? Because people are enjoying what you're doing.
Yeah, it's infectious.
People are making cool stuff with what we're making here.
Oh, that's badass.
Well, thank you for being part of the process. Yeah, I hope next time we talk, it's the fact that we're actually purchasing some wood from
We hope so too, but feel free to come up and visit anytime. Oh yeah, that's something we should tell everybody. We love having visitors and giving tours of the shop.
Yeah?
So anytime anybody's in St. Louis to check out you know, whatever breweries or beer festivals or whatever, come on over. We'd love to have you.
Absolutely. Good to know. Well, thank you, guys.
Awesome, guys. Get out of there, and so that way you guys are safe for that storm. Jesus.
We had your soup and toilet paper.
Nothing yet.
Awesome, guys. Cheers. Thank you so much. Yeah.
Stay warm.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Dead. Dead. Dead.